Why was Christ's resurrection so critical? Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, if Christ were raised from the dead today, it would probably be all over Facebook and WhatsApp and whatever else social media you can think of. Can you imagine how many people would have retweeted this message? Can you imagine how many likes there would have been on Facebook for that one? And how many shares there would have been? That would have been an incredible story. And as they say, it would have broken the internet because so many people would be talking about it. Rare things are very appealing. But then the next story would have come. Maybe they found a man with two heads. And then they'll start putting those pictures up and start retweeting those things. And the resurrection would have disappeared from the headlines. Because that's how the world works. But that's not how Christians work. You view the resurrection of Jesus differently. It's the center of your life. Christ's resurrection was so remarkable to you because through Christ's resurrection, you've received essential blessings for your present existence and your future experience. That was the last song, as the writer saying, now when I'm ready to die from this world, I know where I'm going. And he starts off with the cross, with Gethsemane and the cross. Then he knew where he was going because Jesus was raised from the dead. See, for us, Christ's resurrection is not simply a story of amazement, but is a story about eternal benefits that begin in this world. So you'll hear today about Christ's resurrection benefits for you, why it was so critical. Our headings are, you gain righteousness or justification from his resurrection. Second, you gain a renewed life or sanctification from Christ's resurrection. And third, you gain resurrection or glorification from Christ's resurrection. Our goals are that being reminded of the rich benefits of Christ's resurrection to you, that you will embrace them more, embrace him more and serve him better. Now this is question and answer 45. Question, how does Christ's resurrection benefit us together? First, by his resurrection, he has overcome death so that he might make us share in the righteousness he won for us by his death. Second, by his power, we too are already now resurrected to a new life. Third, Christ's resurrection is a guarantee of our glorious resurrection. Now, you gain righteousness or justification by Christ's resurrection. First main heading. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead to show his full power over death. But through his resurrection, death lost its sting. Sin stung man with physical and spiritual death. But Jesus Christ took on sin in his body and soul and paid the price that was required and then rose up from the dead. And by doing that, he pulled out death's sting. You know, a wasp has a very potent sting. But if you remove the sting, it becomes harmless. You can even play with it. And every ounce of the sting of death was on Christ. In fact, sometimes the scripture describes death as the sting of sin. And when Jesus died, because he was divine, because he was that infinite God-man, his death was sufficient for all the stings of his people. Of all the condemnation and death that you should have faced, his death was enough for that. Now, while Jesus was fully, We can say, the way I like to describe this is him grabbing the wasp and pulling the sting out for us. That's what would kill us. Jesus pulled the sting out. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 56 and 57. We read together, "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." What causes us to die, and this is when you see it reversed, but the picture is the same, sin. And when Jesus died, he took all our sins on himself. So the sting no longer has power over us. So because Christ took your sting, death no longer has dominion over you. He fulfilled the covenant of grace, and this is why physical death does not put fear into Christians. Look at how the Apostle Paul describes this in 1 Corinthians 15 as well, the same passage as above. Together, "And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." So you see the benefits now of his resurrection. Because we were in him, we too are raised to eternal life. Don't be those who simply believe that Jesus is saving us in this life, like the Jehovah's Witnesses do. And then when they're dead, they cease to exist. No, Jesus was resurrected and he guarantees us life. By the way, you see the benefits of knowing doctrine. Isn't it great to know more than, "I asked Jesus into my heart"? Yes, but how do you know, what do you know about this Jesus? Do you know the greatness of your sin? Do you know the wonder of the Savior? You know then how you should live after. Doctrines are important. That's why learning the benefits of the resurrection are essential. And this first point is that you are saved by Christ's resurrection. You have new life. Now, because of Christ's resurrection, then you are free from all sins and declared righteous by your Heavenly Father. When God looks at you, he sees you through the resurrected Jesus. And when Jesus was raised from dead, he was not carrying any sin in him anymore. The full penalty has been paid. And he said, "Every one of you who believes in Jesus is now clear of all sins." He declared that. Now someone might say, "I wasn't born yet, so how could Jesus take the sting of sin for me? How could he take death for me?" The answer is this. God is not limited by time like you are. God sees everything as if it were happening at the same time. God doesn't look and say, "Ooh, I'm not sure what will happen tomorrow. I wonder what they're going to do. That's going to determine my next course of action." No, God knows everything that will happen exhaustively for all times. And he knows it all at one time. That's something you can't fathom. Because you are always thinking, "Well, what if and what if?" God doesn't think that way. He knows everything from the past, present, and future at one time. So it's not hard for him to count Christ's resurrection as your resurrection, even though you were not even born yet. He knew he was going to save you through Jesus. And he knew you were going to repent of your sins and trust in Jesus Christ. So because Jesus took your punishment in his death, burial, and resurrection, the Father declares you to be clean. Look at Romans chapter 4, verse 23 through 25 now. Together. "Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification." You are clean in God's eyes because Jesus was raised from the dead. You see, if Jesus simply died for you, then your sins are taken away. But then what? He took the penalty for your sins. Where do you get the new life from? That's just justice. When Jesus was raised, that was grace. Now, because you were raised with Jesus, you can never die. You can never die spiritually. You can never be separated from God. You see, what the covenant keeper did, he put into your account. So if the Lord looked into your bank account, you will see cleared for life. Never to be condemned. Get out of hell free, permanently, free to you. Now, if Adam had passed the test, you would have been confirmed in righteousness. But he didn't. Your second Adam, Jesus Christ, passed the test, and so you are secured forever. Now, even though you are declared righteous, you still feel the effects of sin. Why is it that? And you say, how come if Jesus paid for all my sins, how come I get sick? How come I struggle with sin and I say things I shouldn't and I do things I shouldn't do and think things I shouldn't? Oh, remember, justification is a divine declaration of a judicial nature. It's a declaration that you are cleared of guilt. It doesn't say you never do anything wrong. It's the way God treats us. He imputes Christ's righteousness to us, and he counts us as if we were perfectly clean. So yeah, we struggle with sin. You struggle with sin every day. But the Lord will not hold those sins against you because they were all paid for in Jesus Christ. And remember too, God sees the end product of your life. He sees what Christ did in the whole scope of your life. One man described it this way. He says, you see the IKEA box, but the Lord sees it all assembled. Everything in its proper place. You see life as a jigsaw puzzle, but God sees it all assembled and on the wall. Well, what about those today, like some in the United Church of Canada, who do not believe that Jesus was raised from the dead? Well, it is absolute madness to say you are a Christian but not believe in the resurrection. There's no Christianity without the resurrection. Those who say they don't believe in the resurrection have an empty faith. And it's evidence that they're still in their sins. In fact, the Apostle Paul, as we just read, says that if you don't believe in the resurrection, you're pathetic. You are to be pitied. Because there's no Christianity without the resurrection. The reason many people don't feel the need to believe in the resurrection is because they've come up with an alternative means of salvation. And one such means is called, as I've talked about before, the moral influence theory. This theory states that Christ came to set a good example for people to follow. This popular teaching comes at the expense of teaching about the resurrection. See, sometimes people don't want to deal with this miracle of the resurrection. And so they push it aside and come up with these goofy theories and say, this is how you're saved, by imitating the work of Jesus Christ. This theory teaches about caring for the sick and feeding the poor and giving until it hurts and being willing to die for others and eating fish and nuts and berries regularly. And if you do these good things, maintain a healthy diet and a healthy lifestyle. The thing is, for one, it's kind of silly, because when you think of the life that Jesus had to live, living and sleeping out in the cold, and can you imagine what those meals were like when they ate whatever they could get? If they really knew what Jesus' life was like, they probably wouldn't say that. But the argument runs something like this. If Jesus did it, and he was the best, I should do it. I will be the best, and I will feel good for doing it. We say the moral influence theory, and this is very popular, and why I'm highlighting this, sacrifices the resurrection. It seeks to gain righteousness by doing right things, rather than receiving Christ's perfect obedience and death as man's own. The moral influence theory is deadly. And by the way, if you follow what Jesus did, do you have the right to go beat people and chase them out of the temple? Do you have the right to look at people and call out the contents of their heart? No, you don't do everything Jesus did because you are not Jesus. You are saved not by imitating Jesus, but by trusting in his work for you. So you're saved by the resurrection. Second, you gain a renewed life or sanctification by his resurrection. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, you not only have his righteousness credited to your account, but you also have a renewed life. And this was necessary. After all, what sense would it make if you were simply saved? You're given credit for Christ's righteousness, declared righteous, but you did not have a new life to enjoy what Christ did for you. You can say that you have been resurrected from the spiritual dead. This is your first resurrection. Your sins were nailed to the cross and you bear them no more, and now you are made to live for Jesus. And as you work through this life, the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, starts to clean you out, sanctify you, remove the filth that still remains in you. By the way, those people who talked about being perfect, and there are television preachers who say they don't sin anymore, they're still in their sins. Because the Lord told us he will have to clean us out. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, 5, and 6 together. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are now in that special place where he brought us into the kingdom and now works to clean us out. We're not in heaven, but we're in a special place where that work goes on. How do we see that work? Well, the Apostle Paul encouraged you, based on your spiritual resurrection in Christ, that you will work to show you understand the greatness of this new life, how God is working in you. He showed where this work of Jesus ultimately led. His resurrection raised you to new life and starts to clean you out, puts you in that position where you are cleaned out. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, to see where you are going in this life. Together, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The pointing of sanctification is to heaven. What is the implication for you now that you have new life? We see that highlight for us in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And we read together. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Probably this verse should have been earlier in this section. But you see the point here. Now that you've been saved, you are to have been raised with Christ. Seek those things which are above. That's a battle. Why is that? Because you want to seek the things that are below. We want to focus upon the greatness of our career, our school, the nicer house, the bigger, fancier car, the newer telephone. We want to focus on these things. Now, not saying those things are bad, but our focus naturally is on the earthly things, the fancier clothes and trying to be more impressive, more money in the bank, better looking, fancier haircut, and so on. And he's saying, but the focus must be on things that are above. That's how we're cleaned out. Because you're training your eyes on heaven. You're sitting in heavenly places, you're looking up to God, and he cleans you out. What a precious place to be. This means that you should not live like a refugee begging for a place to live and the means of living. You must understand that you are a prince or princess of God. You can claim God's promises. You can enjoy the hope that he has given to you. You can have that internal peace. You can live in his love. You can spread that spiritual wealth. Don't let sin conquer you. Use the spiritual weapons to fight as God works to purify you in this life. And how does that possible? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we come to the third point then. You gain resurrection or glorification by Christ's resurrection. If you receive Christ's righteousness, which is justification, a declaration that you're free of your sin, and if you enjoyed a renewed life in this world, that sanctification and God cleaning you out, you then wait for heaven, for glorification. If there were no glorification, men would want to live wickedly. Men would purely seek their own pleasure and profit. But now you're assured, because Jesus was raised from the dead, that you too will be gloriously raised from the dead after you die. And we call this the second resurrection. The first is when you are declared righteous and justified. The second is when you're raised from the dead and you're taken into heaven. Consider some details of the benefits that come to you in the second resurrection because of Christ's resurrection. Even your body, when you think of the pains and the struggles you have, or maybe you're not satisfied and things don't work as well in your body, even your body will be gloriously restored. There'll be no more sickness and no more pain. Can you imagine that? You know, if you've struggled with sickness for a long time, you appreciate this a little bit more. When those pains that wouldn't go away and you're sick for years, you think of what heaven will be like. What a beautiful thing. But what about other things? Think of the fact that there will be no more sadness. Think of the troubles that we experience in this life. Death of loved ones. Broken relationships. Think about the worries. You're wondering what will happen in the future. What will your children do? What to do with old parents? These things take over our lives sometimes. They shouldn't, but they do. But in heaven, there will be no such thing anymore. And why is that possible? Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We too will be raised in new life. It's almost like you want to say, Lord, when can I come home? Lord, when can I come home? Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. And we'll read together. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Okay, so I talked about the fact that you will not have any pain or sorrows, and no more sickness in heaven. But it's much more than freedom from troubles. It's the positive thing where your inheritance will be received that is incorruptible. You will have life in perfection. the joy that will never fade away. Yes, the first Adam failed to secure paradise for you, but Jesus Christ, the second Adam, earned heaven for you. You were united with him, so what he achieved, you can have as well. A couple of passages on this from Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Together, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. By the way, our citizenship is in heaven. I'm not sure how many theologians have come up with the fact that heaven will be on earth. Heaven is heaven, that's where our citizenship is. And the Bible says we're waiting for the Lord to come, not for this to become heaven, but to take us to be with him, as 1 Corinthians 15, and so we shall forever be with the Lord when he comes. 1 John 3, 2, together. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, the exact details of our nature, we don't know. What kind of body will we have? How good looking will we be? Well, what will we eat? What kind of trees are there in heaven? Are there trees? We don't know the details of those things. We wait for them. But we know that it will be a place of perfect beauty and joy. Now, the guarantee you have of your resurrection is from the one who has the ability to do what he has promised. You know, promising things, that's one thing. You might promise somebody, here's the present you're going to get. I'm going to buy you a present for Christmas. Then you find out, oh, they're all sold out. I saw some sign in Canadian Tire saying, due to increased demand, some toys were gone. You think, how disappointing. Or, you know, for us, sometimes you change your mind. You want to buy a toy for a child, the child misbehaves, you say, no, you don't, you're not worthy of it, you're not going to get it. But when God says he's going to get it for you, he is willing and he is able to get it for you. You know, I've used the illustration in the sermon of those people who are coming around to your house and they're selling air conditioners. And they will install it and it'll give you a 10-year warranty. And if they're ready, they'll put in a 15-year warranty because they know after 3 years, they change their company name and you're out of warranty. That's common. But that's not how God works. Jesus Christ has the power to lay down his life and take it up again. He has the power to raise you up. And the price has been paid. You can trust his word. Final passage, John 14, verses 1 through 3. Together, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You're going to be taken someplace. That place is in his Father's house in heaven. How sad for the Sadducees who rejected the resurrection altogether. They're most pitiable. They live only for this life. And there are many such people in the world today who need to learn of the resurrection. How sad for the Jehovah's Witnesses who do not believe in the resurrection but in annihilation. They believe when you die, you cease to exist. You think, why would they live then? It's easy just to get out of this world from all its troubles. But let's conclude. You are united in Christ in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. So your loving Father credited what Jesus Christ achieved to you. By his resurrection, you are credited with justification, declared righteous. You're God's child forevermore. You're credited with sanctification, resulting in the renewed life God works in you by his word and spirit to clean out all the filth, all the desires, the lusts of the flesh, lusts of the eyes, pride of life. And then you are credited with your own resurrection into heaven. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, to put it simply, Jesus paid it all. With these rich benefits from Christ's resurrection, are you thankful for them? You teach kids from very early, learn to say thank you. Are you thankful for them? When was the last time you stopped and thanked God for your salvation? It's easy to thank God for the nice things and the money and the job and the family and friends you have. But what about for your salvation? 3, live victoriously and fulfill your responsibilities, knowing you will never have to worry about your sins. You know, when you have to do some job and you have something on your back you're thinking about, he's saying, you don't have to worry about the biggest problem you have. Remember, Pilgrim's Progress, the load is off the back now. You can live victoriously. You can do the work without thinking about that. The biggest problem you have is gone. Jesus paid it all. And then 4, when you do struggle with sin, when you do struggle with sickness and worries and indifference, what you need to do then is to confess your sin. Confess your sin before God. Confess the sin of doubt. And receive Christ's forgiveness. Don't live with that weight on your back. Don't sweep sin under the carpet. But don't let it crush you. Let God hear that voice calling on and say, Lord, I've sinned against you and against men. Forgive me. And then you can go back to living that victorious life, fighting sin. But if you're not a Christian and you reject Christ's resurrection, I pity you. I pity you because I know you will have to die for your sins in the worst possible way in eternity in hell. But my love for you, and more important, Christ's love for you, says that if you knock and if you invite him in, he will come in and have fellowship with you forever. God will count the sting of your sin on Jesus. And he will justify you, and he will sanctify you, and one day he will glorify you. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for blessing us with this time again in your word. What a wonderful thing to hear of raising up of Jesus Christ, our Savior, by whom we are justified, sanctified, and glorified. May we never get tired of this story. May we not lose sight of this story. Even as we come to the season where the focus becomes placed on the birth of Jesus Christ, let us remember his death, burial, and resurrection also. May these words sink deep into our thoughts, into our hearts, and may we go out and live as those who are being purified. If we sin, help us to repent and get rid of that load that we need not carry, for Jesus paid it all. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.